In April, I posted the finale episode of the Sitting and Suffering series, a year exploring those moments when God doesn't take away the hardship, and yet we learn to trust Him in the midst. It was an amazing experience filled with amazing stories, but at the end of it, I felt like God was inviting me to a hiatus, a period of time where I wouldn't record the Where Did You See God podcast. I had no idea how long it would be, or why it was happening, but it was clear I wasn't supposed to record. Now in that time, so much has happened. I've written books, I've helped build out a learning management system and website for YWAM Virginia, and taken on a number of new responsibilities. It was almost as though God was saying, there's a lot I need you to do, and the podcast can wait. But I knew the podcast wasn't done, in part because of my friend Miriam Washington. I met Miriam over 5 years ago when she came to do an internship with an amazing group called Richmond Justice Program. And out of nowhere this May, I got a message from her. How do I get on the podcast? I just got out of the hospital. I feel God has put on my heart to talk about me having a disability and dealing with chronic illness and how to navigate faith in the midst of that. Now, when she sent this message, I knew I was not supposed to post new episodes. But I also got a clear sense that God was saying yes to making space for Miriam. Since that moment, there have been a number of things that have kept the recording from happening, but we both knew that it was supposed to. And despite multiple hospital stays and very difficult days, Miriam and I were finally able to connect, not without technological challenges, and record the conversation you are about to hear. I'm excited for you for two reasons. One, Miriam's story is powerful, and I believe you will be encouraged. Two, both Miriam and I believe that God is about to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Neither of us were initially seeking this out, but both of us are convinced that God wants to do something. We believe that part of that something is for you. It can be difficult to have faith in God when things get difficult. And if you're in that space, I hope that you are encouraged by Miriam today. You're listening to episode 166 of the Where Did You See God podcast. Father God, I want to thank you that you are God and you are good. And I thank you for this unique space that you've created for Miriam and I to just process who you are and what you're doing and how you're working, but for us to also be open to how you might want to move, how the Spirit might want to do something very different than what we are expecting, what we're asking for, what we're imagining. And so right now, I just invite you, Holy Spirit, to move in this conversation to guide our words and our thoughts and questions and answers. And above all, Father God, I just pray that you are honored and glorified. We know that this has been a journey to get to this point, even in preparation today, but you have brought us here now, and so we give this time back to you. All this we pray in your most holy and precious name. Amen. So Miriam, I am very excited to have this conversation because this has been a long time coming. You reached out to me about 7 months ago because you felt like God was prompting you to find ways to share your story, and specifically you were asking about on podcasts. And meanwhile, I was in this strange hiatus from the podcast, but I felt a clear sense that God was saying yes, that I needed to make space for us to connect and talk. And then we've been waiting. There have been so many obstacles and challenges that have kept this moment from coming, even fast forwarding to now where we've had mic issues and lawnmowers suddenly starting up. But you and I are both convinced that God is present and He is moving. And so that's how we're stepping into this moment. Tell me a little bit about who you are, and maybe you can use that to lead right into what God's been placing on your heart.
Well, first, I do want to say thank you for this opportunity to share my story and to be vulnerable for what the Lord is doing in my life in this season. Mm-hmm. I'm just so glad about what He's doing.
Yeah.
And I know God's going to look deeply to you and me and others who are listening to this story. So about me, I'm Marion Washington. I'm a person with a disability and a chronic illness. Yeah, so like when I was born, we had some complications. So I was actually born with cerebral palsy, secondary to other illnesses. And for those of you who don't know what cerebral palsy is, it's when there's like brain damage done to like the part of the brain that controls like motor function. Mm-hmm. So basically, my brain, my body is like kind of disconnected. Like the signal is like weak, which means I have difficulty walking. I have weakness on my legs, stuff like that. But like there's different types of cerebral palsy also. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have brain damage. And it's like really crazy how I have brain damage, but like you wouldn't even know. And that's how good God is. But I also have a chronic illness, which has been like this total like shocker. So when I was 14 years old, I got diagnosed with kidney disease. Yeah. And my kidneys were failing. And like me as a 14-year-old, it was like really difficult for me to like understand exactly what was happening. So that was really difficult for me, just being sick at 14 years old. Fast forward to when I was 16, I went into complete kidney failure.
Oh, wow.
So can you imagine a 16-year-old like being a kidney failure? Like, I had to stop going to school. I was doing like homebound school. So I didn't have like community with my friends, and I was just like so alone and so like just so lonely. And like I just felt like no one was there. Mm. And it was just a really difficult time for me.
Yeah.
To go through kidney failure. And it's like kidney failure is a lot. Mm. So I had to do dialysis 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. God has given me the strength to, like, go through that. And I still don't know, like, to this day how I, like, got through that. Mm-hmm. But I did it, and I graduated high school. And then in November 2012, I actually got a kidney transplant, which was very healing and very amazing. And, like, it just, like, proves that, like, God can, like, bring life through death. Because, like, this individual who, like, passed away that donated their organs, me and another person got, like, a kidney, and, like, all other persons got, like, other organs, too. Mm-hmm. It was me and this other guy. We got, like, a kidney, and it was, like, really, like, fun to, like, see, like, his journey and, like, us going to, like, appointments together and seeing each other do that. Yeah, so, like, I got the kidney transplant, and I was feeling better, and, like, it was just a totally different life. Mm-hmm. And then I started to, like, thinking that, like, I want to, like, pursue a career, and I wanted to go to college. Mm-hmm. So I started to, like, apply to go to college at, like, my local community college. I was there in 2013, and, like, it was a very lonely, like, I think, sometimes we think of community college as being in a community, but mm-hmm. sometimes it lacks community. Mm-hmm. So I would like, I only had like one class in person. All the rest of my classes was online. So I would go to this class. This class was like 3 hours. So I would go to this class, then I'd go home, then go to sleep, then probably do my homework like late in the night. Mm-hmm. But like it was like no community for me, and I still felt this like loneliness. I'm supposed to be pursuing my purpose. Like, it shouldn't be, like, this hard. Mm-hmm. Like, is something going to happen? Like, I need community. Like, I need friends. And in that moment, like, I prayed to God, and I was like, God, like, can you please, like, bring friends? I think at this point, I didn't really know what community was, but God brought me friends. Mm-hmm. The following year, in 2014, I joined InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And, oh my gosh, it was, like, such an experience. And, like, God has, like, moved so much through me through this ministry. I had community. Like, I finally had community. And, like, it was so healing. It was, like, so much stuff, like, I had pinned up inside of me that, like, God had to, like, release. God had to, like, teach me to, like, trust people, because yeah. I was just like, these are strangers. Like, this is a community college. I think sometimes when we think about college, like, we think about, like, people with the same mindset as you, but this is a community college, and, like, sometimes it's, like, a random assortment of people, like, all different ages, all different abilities, very diverse in race, And it's like these strangers has become my community. It was just really amazing. And I just want to like fast forward to like a really pivotal moment in my life when I met Paul. It was at the Richmond Justice Program, which was kind of this like immersive internship, missionship kind of thing. It was really good. Like Lisa Kyler did a really good job with like planning this. And like, I was like in the first group to like actually do the thing. It was like such a pivotal moment. And like, God has taught me so much in that summer. This was 2018, by the way. But God had taught me like, I have a purpose. Like in that summer, he was interning at this summer camp, but it was supposed to be like multiple like internships like throughout the summer. But it ended up being like us just interning at this summer camp. And like, I really felt like I didn't have a purpose there because I couldn't really help as much as I wanted to. Like, basically, I was just hanging out like the most of the summer. But God has taught me that like, just being in the room, that like, I am seen and I am known by him and that I'm there for a purpose.
Yeah.
And like, he has taught me how to like live in community. Like not just have community like at school, but like to live in community, to like persevere through the ups and downs in community and like just keep going.
Yeah.
And also like, he taught me also how to like live independently. Like this is like my first time, like the longest time like living without like my family. And that was like a big thing for me. It was like so much healing in that.
Yeah.
And like, I remember like, it was like a month before I left for RJP, Lutheran Justice Program. Like I was like really contemplating if I really wanted to go. Like I had this feeling that my mother was going to pass away because she had like this big like surgery coming up. And I was like really like scared that she was going to pass away. I was talking to my staff worker at the time, now friend, Katie, and she was just telling me how, like, whether I'm, like, at my house or in Richmond, like, if she's gonna, like, pass. And, like, I remember, like, being in RJP after I decided to go. I said my friend Katie, because she was coming down in the area for something. So I told her to go to my house and, like, pray for my mom. After she was, like, recovering from surgery. So my mom, like, made it out of the surgery. But fast forward a year later, my mom does end up passing. And it was, like, really hard for me and, like, really tragic and, like, just changed the whole trajectory of my life. Yeah, but, like, I just think that, like, during the time to, like, RJP, that God was, like, preparing me. Preparing me to, like, live on my own. Like, when my mom passed away, I had to move into, like, my own apartment and live by myself. And, like, I had to find resources on my own.
Yeah.
And God was, like, just, like, preparing me during the time, during this summer internship slash missionship, whatever it was. I'm just really glad that, like, I decided to attend that.
Yeah.
I just want to say grief is, like, really complex and, like, it doesn't get easier, but, like, I think God just gives us the capacity to handle it then.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's interesting about hearing you share? And there's so much you haven't shared, right? There's so many other stories. But even in what you have shared, there has been this common thread of this faith in God. And what strikes me is you've shared stories that for some people would be enough to decide that God must not exist or must not be powerful or must not be good. So a child being born with cerebral palsy, that's something that some people would say, well, how could God be good and let a child be born? Or kidney failure at age 16, there'd be people say, well, how could a good God let that happen? And even what you talked about regarding a desire for community, but there are limitations. Like you, because of mobility, there are limitations about what you can even do to find that community. And you have to rely on community to come to you sometimes. And somebody could say, well, that's not fair. And yet that's not what you are saying. Over and over and over, you have mentioned this faith in this God. And you talk about him as though he is loving and as though he is good and as though he is working out things for the good in your life. And so I'm curious, why is it that you have such a faith in God despite the challenges?
I think whoever is like listening, you probably think I'm really strong. Like, I don't have my days when I'm like down. But I think the truth is, and the secret is, that God is my strength.
Yeah.
My life verse is Romans 8:28, that He works everything for my good.
Mm.
And that's what I stick to, like, no matter what it may seem, like, no matter how bad it may seem, God is working everything for my good.
I really appreciate you even naming that reality that, you know, like you said, somebody might be hearing me and thinking I'm strong. Let me just set the record straight. Because I think that's the problem we have sometimes, is we'll hear stories like yours. We hear stories of others that are persevering through things, and we see them as strong and having figured it out. And then we see ourselves as not at that level. And so it's great that Miriam is able to have faith in God, but I just don't have that type of strength. And so for you to say, oh, no, no, actually, I have hard days, that suddenly opens it up to someone who right now is in the midst of their hard day. They're listening now, and this is their hardest day. Now they can hear you not just naming that God is faithful, but saying, and I'm able to have faith because of God's faithfulness. So, you know, let's say somebody is listening right now that's in that place. You know, when you think of the times that you were in your hardest moments, what are the things that you either did hear or wish you had heard?
I just want to just be really honest and say that, like, I've dealt with mental health issues.
Mm.
I have depression as well as other mental health issues. I actually had suicidal thoughts before, because life is hard.
Yeah.
But God is so faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I just know that, like, whoever is listening, that, like, God is near us to the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
And He binds up our wounds.
Yeah.
Also says that we can come to Him when we need rest, because He cares for us.
Mm-hmm.
He not only gives us rest, but He cares.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I try to question God's character, like, if He's good, He's been good before, and He will be good again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, His character is good.
Yeah.
Like, God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God is faithful. God is sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
His character is, like, unmatched. And that's what I hold on to.
Yeah.
His character. And, like, what He did on the cross, like, He didn't have to do that. And, like, everything that we have experienced, God has experienced it too.
Mm.
God went through trauma. God went through temptation. Like, God came as a human being just to save us. Like, how deep is that?
Mm-hmm. You know, we're recording this in the midst of Advent season, and the Advent theme of this week for many churches is peace. And so I've been reflecting on that idea, and as you were sharing your story, I was reminded not just of that in general, but of one specific verse, which is John 14:27, and says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And today I had the privilege of sitting with some neighbors at a community Bible study, and we were reflecting on the idea of peace, but also this verse. And one of the guys asked, "Well, what is the definition of peace?" And he's like, "I want to clarify, what is the human definition, but what's the spiritual definition? What is Jesus talking about?" And when you look up the human definition, it tends to be about the absence of disruption, the absence of hardship, the absence of war. That is peace. In other words, peace exists when those troubles, hardships, war, when that doesn't exist. But Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. So when he talks about peace, it almost seems like he's defining it different, that peace isn't the absence of disability, chronic illness, loneliness. He's saying, peace I leave with you. There is something that he is actually giving us while we are in that space. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, because the way the world gives peace is it tries to eliminate the troubles or just not think about them. Instead, what Jesus says is, in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your hardships, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. It's this peace that defies understanding. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hear you sharing, is there is plenty of reason for you to lack peace. And there are moments that you lack peace.
Oh, definitely.
And yet there is this faithful God who continues to say, I understand, I see you, here is my peace. I understand, I see you, and here is my peace. And every day is offering that peace. And what encourages me about you is, as long as I've known you, you have continued to put your hands out and receive that peace, mm-hmm. no matter how hard things get. Because here's the thing, you know, your story stopped at 2019 with the loss of your mom. And I've known you for 5.5 years now. And every once in a while, I pick up on different things. But I know that after that, there is a pandemic. And a pandemic is experienced very differently for someone who's navigating disability and chronic illness, especially on the front end where there were many unanswered questions. So there's been 5.5 years since then of you continuing life. So one thing I love about our walk with Christ is that it's not like we are achieving perfection as soon as we learn things, but we are deepening and growing. You mentioned that earlier. So what does that look like in the last 5 years as the world has changed, as you have now been really having to press into living on your own, of figuring out adulthood, of figuring out the future? Like, what does that look like to continue to daily receive that peace and that?
Yeah, I think it's putting Jesus, God, as a priority in your life. Like, above men. Like, in this season, like, right now, like, I've had some, like, falling out with some friends, and like, I've come to like the conclusion, like, God is the only one that can like provide like unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Like, when everyone else is like not there, like, God is there.
Yeah.
I'm learning how to like keep pressing on, like, despite how I feel. Like, emotions are temporary.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm going to feel sad. I'm going to feel happy one day. Mm-hmm. But the joy of the Lord, he is my strength. And like, he gives me strength to go about my day, mm-hmm. to grow in him, to read scripture. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I talk about disability and chronic illness, but like, God has saved me from myself too. Like, I've hit death's door a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I built my own grave, and God has still resurrected me. My sin has put me in the ground, and God has still given me grace.
Yeah.
God's grace is like so sufficient for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's an important thing in my walk with Christ, to like, realize that God gives us grace. Mm-hmm. It says in his word, it's, what is it? By grace through faith? Mm-hmm. Like, God gives us his grace. It's freely giving. That's what I'm learning, like, right now in my walk with Christ.
Yeah. I think there's this really beautiful thing about realizing what you said, that ultimately, like, God is the source of whatever it is that our soul is longing for. Mm-hmm. And when we actually realize that, then the other thing we have to realize is these other things aren't that.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, we were thinking, like, in order for me to have peace, these friendships need to be restored. In order for me to have peace, my mom has to live through the summer so that I don't feel bad about doing this internship. In order for me to have peace, my body needs to be healed. In order, like, we think of all these things, sometimes logical things, good things, but we are pinning our peace on stuff that ultimately fades away. Like you said, if our physical bodies experience emotion, our physical bodies will fade away. Right. So our emotions won't continue after that. And then there's this God who is eternal, and this Jesus who is offering us full life to people who are already alive, which means he's offering something bigger, deeper, and eternal. And this is what we're invited to pursue, is this God who offers us something that we could never have found on our own. The verse you were referencing was Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And this idea, I mean, there's so much in that. The reality that we are God's workmanship, that he intentionally created us as he created us. The reality that he is giving a gift, this God that doesn't owe us anything, and we're often not appreciative of what he does give. He yet still gives gifts. And that for grace you have been saved through faith. Like you noted, this faith isn't about you being a super Christian. This faith is about a willingness to step even when you're having your hardest day and it's really hard to even want to keep going. And yet somehow that gift takes you to the next day and takes you to the next day. You know, when you think about what's ahead, knowing what you know about who God has made you to be and what you're continuing to learn about your identity and knowing what you know about God, what's something that gives you excitement that you feel like is on the road ahead?
I think one thing that popped into my head is that, like, just really glad that, like, I can trust God with the hard things in my life. Like, no matter what the future holds, like, God's got me.
Yeah.
I'm just really glad that, like, when he starts something, he brings it to completion. Yeah. This is not the end. This is the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think multiple times in my life where I thought, like, oh, this is the end of my story. God says, no, like, I'm pursuing you, and I'm going to pursue you until the last of your days. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a purpose. You still got work to do, girl. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm really excited for, like, what God is doing within me and the desires he has placed in my heart. And, like, I've been talking to, like, God, and, like, I really want to pursue, like, content creation. Like, I'm going to, like, share my story more, like, with, like, a wider audience. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, really difficult because I'm, like, really self-critical. Mm-hmm. Like, I just posted a video on TikTok, like, last night, and they got, like, 50 views.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God, I feel so discouraged. But, like, God has told me, like, the secret place, like, like, he told me the why I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's for him and his glory. And that's all that matters. Like, I think before I post the video, I'm like, if this touches one person, like, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. And the hard thing, too, is maybe not the hard thing. The invitation in that is growing and being willing to trust that God sees that one person or that God's working through that, even if we don't see the fruit.
Yes.
That's the hard part about really stepping in obedience. And that, because I resonate with you. God's invited me to a lot of content creation. And for many reasons, I can really question the stuff that I put out. And it's always nice when I hear that immediate feedback or, you know, someone says, oh, that encouraged me. But there are many moments that I'm like you, where it's like the next day I look and I'm like, I don't think anybody cares about this. I don't think anybody likes this. And I have to remind myself, well, why did I do it? Did I do it for the likes, or did I do it for the engagement, or did I do it for insert reason? Or was I simply trying to be obedient to what God was inviting me to? And am I willing to let that obedience be enough, even if I never see the fruit? Now, what I will say, having said that, is I want to encourage you, because hearing you share has been easily the highlight of my week. There's been some hard stuff this week, the kind of stuff that just like knocks the wind out of me.
Yeah, right? That was me last week.
Yeah. And those moments, it's like hard to know how to move forward. But then sometimes there's this breath of fresh air. And that's this moment for me in hearing you share, but also knowing that this moment isn't random, that it exists because you took a step of faith and obedience to reach out and say, I feel like God wants me to share my story. And there are people right now that want to share, and then they can immediately start doing it, right? Maybe they don't have any fears. Maybe they have a lot of confidence. Maybe they have a lot of time, resources, and capacity. We haven't been able to record for 7 months because of significant obstacles. I mean, you've had hospital stays, right? You've had hardships you've been navigating.
Oh, yeah.
And yet you're still trying to step in obedience, even though it'd be really easy to say, you know what? I tried, but clearly this isn't it. And so I want to encourage you that I am confident that whatever your steps of obedience look like, God is working through them. He is planting seeds. You know, I do believe that somebody could hear this and be deeply encouraged, because you're not alone in navigating some of the things that you've named, but there are people that feel alone right now. Like, nobody understands what it's like to have a chronic illness or a disability or wrestling with mental health things or having suicidal thoughts. Like, these things you name, there are people right now that feel isolated, and then they get to hear you and you sharing with this authentic faith, not a super Christian faith, but an authentic, I believe this even when I struggle to believe it, because I'm growing more and more convinced that God is faithful. So I just want to encourage you in that, and thank you for taking your steps of obedience. One thing I did want to ask, this popped in my head, is, you know, when you reached out, there were possibly specific things that God was putting on your heart. And so we've talked about a lot of things. Is there anything that in the last 7 months you've had a sense that God's been saying, I want you to share this, or I want you to process this?
Honestly, I don't even remember like my intentions when I reached out to you, because it's been so long ago. I think so much has happened in the last 7 months.
Yeah.
And I think like the last few months has been like really crazy for me. I had a 20-day hospital stay, and I'm now on a feeding tube because I have gastroparesis, which it means my digestive system is partially paralyzed. So it's like really hard to like eat.
Yeah,
I've been to the emergency room 16 times this year, and I've been admitted like 5 times.
Goodness.
It's just been a really tough year for me.
Yeah.
So I just put out a video about like how people in the beginning of the year, it's like, this is my year. But then when December comes around, it feels kind of shaky. And I just want to like encourage someone that like, it's still their year.
Yeah.
It may not be the year that God does what you want God to do, but like, God is still working on your behalf. Like, maybe this is the year you plant the seed, or if this is the year of discipline for you.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, this is the year of me learning and listening, and me just getting, like, my strength up. But it is indeed a year.
Yeah. That's a good encouragement. I think that's a really important word for people to hear, because we really do operate like that, right? Like in years. And so, you know, we'll say this is my year ended, but then if it doesn't work out, it's like, well, I guess I'll just start again. But what you're saying is God may be working on a long game thing. He may, you know, there are some seeds that you plant. Like my son and I planted some cayenne pepper seeds because he likes hot peppers. And those things within a couple of weeks had already sprouted. But there are other seeds that, I mean, they'll stay in the earth for way longer than you think they ever could. They're just remaining dead in the dirt and nothing's happening, but something actually is. And sometimes the journeys that God invites us on are those longer game journeys that does not look like sprouting. It feels like dead in the dirt, but there is something happening. And I imagine that those seeds probably produce something very special. If something's waiting in the earth that long, whatever sprouts out isn't going to just be some blade of grass or weed.
Mm-hmm. What's that scripture about, like, endurance?
Yeah.
How, like, endurance produces
something? Romans 5:3-5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's a good verse to reference.
Good stuff.
I mean, it really is like what your story is just filled with the reality of what that means for suffering to produce endurance, endurance to produce character, character to produce hope, and for hope to not put us to shame, to not let us down. What it looks like for God's love to be poured out, what it looks like for the Holy Spirit to move. I mean, I already said it, but I'll say it again. I've been really encouraged by your story, but also because your story is still being written. And this is what's funny. You know, I wasn't sure how you would answer the question. And even as you were saying, you know, I don't even remember what I said, and so much has happened since then, it's almost like the Spirit prompted you to reach out when you did, knowing that once the stuff hit, like, you weren't going to be taking on anything else, right? But because this was already established, we had already had this communication, and you and I both had a sense, okay, God wants to do something. When the things hit, this remained on the table and allowed us to be here in this moment. And so I love when the Spirit moves like that.
When I started speaking on the podcast, I didn't know what direction it was going to go. Like, I thought it was going to go a totally different way. Like I was thinking about it and trying to prepare myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So, no, it's good.
Whole list got thrown out.
Whole other direction.
And that's why, you know, like I shared, that's why we always pray at the start, because you and I could have all kinds of ideas about what would be the best thing to say and do. And God is able to do abundantly more than we're asking for or imagining. And that's what we want, is not our best ideas, but what God's imagining is it can be way more than we would have ever planned for or been able to accomplish. If somebody wanted to connect with you or engage with, like, the content you're creating, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, my TikTok is Miriam Washington 1, M-I-R-I-A-M Washington 1.
And as we close out, is there any final thing that you feel like God is putting on your heart to share as we go?
Well, I think I just want to encourage someone, anyone that, like, hold on. Mm-hmm. Take it one step at a time. God is with you, like, through the storm. Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't see you, it's like, he is there and he sees you.
Yeah.
And he knows you. And he still loves you.
You will walk, you will run, dance through the streets, shouting praise to the one. You're healed, you're clean. Go out, tell the people what you've seen. Revived in him, new life.
Psalm 34 says this: I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Miriam has always been encouraged by verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. She knows what it is to be brokenhearted, to feel that crushing. She knows what it is to carry many troubles. And yet, she has a faith in God that keeps her at the table. That even when total healing doesn't come, even when the hospital stays increase, she still speaks in the same way as David, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice." And then verse 3 captures what Miriam has done for us today. She has invited us to join her in glorifying God. "Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Miriam, before May, might not have had plans to share her story. But then after a hospital stay, she had a clear sense that God was inviting her to speak, or more, to invite others to hear who God is. And that's what these Psalms are, right? David is trying to capture these moments of experiencing God, of seeking God, of navigating hardship and yet somehow choosing to believe that God is still God and God is still good. And that's what Miriam has done for us today. Hers is not a story of all the lifelong illnesses and disabilities suddenly being healed, but of her choosing to glorify God no matter what happens. "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." These Psalms are interesting because they seem to say things that appear counter to what Miriam has experienced. "This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles." All of his troubles? But then later, it says a righteous man may have many troubles. That means the man was living righteously, and yet troubles hit them. But again, verse 19, it says, "But the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken." What is God promising here? What kind of restoration? What kind of liberation from trouble? Because it isn't what we expect. It isn't that trouble never comes. It isn't that hardship never happens. It isn't that we are never brokenhearted. It's something different. And I would say it's something better. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. This Lord, the God of the universe, the God of all creation, owes us nothing, is so far above and beyond us, and yet he chooses to be close to us in our hardest moments, in our weakest moments, when we have nothing to offer him. We're brokenhearted, we're crushed, we are consumed by troubles. And the God of the universe chooses to hear us and to be close to us. And he chooses to save us, not for the here and now, not for life as we understand or desire it, but for immeasurably more than we're asking for or imagining, for something eternal, for the full life to come. Miriam is aware that there will continue to be troubles in her life, and she has a choice to make, whether to give up or to get distraught, or to choose to glorify the God that she has chosen to believe sees her, hears her, and loves her. You heard it with her own voice. Despite multiple hospital visits since she decided to share her story, she is convinced that the Lord is close to her. She is confident that God is at work. And if it is true for Miriam, it is true for you, because the same God that Miriam knows is the same God that created you, that sees you, that hears you, that loves you. So no matter what troubles you are facing, no matter how consumed you feel by them, there is a God that desires to be close to you, that desires to save you. And all you have to do is to seek him. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. When your troubles hit, choose to believe that you are not alone. And then ask yourself, where did you see God?